Welcome to the Bidwell Presbyterian Church Podcast. The church is located next to California State University, Chico. For updates on services, congregational care, and community outreach, please visit our website at bidwellpres.org. The following sermon, Born to Run, was given by Pastor Henry Hansen on Sunday, May 15, 2022. May you experience God's grace and joy on the journey.
We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11. Beginning with verse 29, and we will go through chapter 12, verse 2. So let's hear God's word together. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. What more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. They were commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had unplanned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off every weight that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why don't we just pause for a moment of prayer? Ever-present God, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of this day, and we're thankful for sacred spaces such as this, where we can gather and collect our thoughts and to be mindful of the meditations of our hearts and for us to be focused on you and how you might be speaking to our lives. And Lord, as we come here, we have not come to hear a human voice or opinion, but rather to have an encounter. And so I pray that for each worshiper here, that you would meet with us, because Lord, surely above all things, we have come to meet with you, and so may your spirit minister to that end. In your powerful name, amen. According to our scripture passage for this morning, you are born to run, and you were born to run in a race. Now, I know this isn't particularly good news for all of us. Not all of us are runners. And for good reason, running is chosen here as a metaphor for hardship, because we know that running is difficult. I mean, how many runners do you see who are running who are actually smiling while they're doing it? We know this. People smile while they cycle. They smile while they surf, but not necessarily when they are running. I know what they tell you. I do it for how I feel afterwards. Yeah, okay. I enjoy walking and cycling more. Running is being used as a metaphor here. And that is because running is difficult. And we know that life is difficult. And so the scripture is saying that we are in a race. We are running a race. It's saying for us to get rid of any extra weight that we are carrying that is hindering us, anything we need to let go of so we can run more freely with pep in our step, and also that we would cross that finish line in victory, knowing that we are being cheered on by the saints who have gone before us, and also the people of God who walk with us shoulder to shoulder across that finish line. As I was pondering this scripture passage for this morning, there was an image that came to mind for me. It's of a stadium in Oslo, Norway. It's called Bislett Stadium, and it has been known for innumerable running records being broken, some 50 or more there. And so this stadium has been studied. Why is it that there are so many records that haven't broken at this one particular stadium among all the stadiums across the world? And so there is a term that was coined that's called the Bislett effect. And what they learned about the stadium is that it is so narrow in the way that it is structured that it is almost as though if you're a runner, the fans are practically on top of you. And actually, this does have an effect. As you hear your nation and your family and your friends cheering for you, you literally feed off of their energy so that you are able to thrive off of it, that you are able to have reflexes that adapt quicker, that you can maintain your poise, and that you can run with a burst of energy to cross the finish line with arms outstretched in victory. The people who run there literally are thriving off of the family, friends, and their nation who are cheering them on to run the race and to finish well. Well, I'd like for us to hold up this image for us as we're thinking about this scripture for today, because this passage here is telling us that we have a grandstand of people who surround us. As Ray mentioned earlier, what's referred to as this great cloud of witnesses. And there are innumerable ones who have gone before us. And they are encouraging us in our faith. They exist in the supernatural realm, if you will, the eternal realm. And this scripture notes many of them, and they are intended to be witnesses to us in how we live our life of faith, and also for us to thrive off of their encouragement, their exhortation, for us to thrive in life, and for us to cross that finish line with arms outstretched in victory. It names that the people of God being led through the Red Sea into the Promised Land. It also noted God's people who marched around the Jericho walls with praise and with prayer and brought every stone down. And also another lesser known character named Rahab, who is a prostitute who was chosen by God to perform a work to salvage a nation in a particular time in a particular place. And then it goes on to state innumerable different saints in history who have come before us and finished the race and who hoisted up their arms in victory as they crossed that finish line. The scripture passage is an encouragement to our lives. And I can't help but think, friends, that the people of God could use quite a bit of encouragement these days. Amen. Encouragement is good. We need encouragement because you and I, friends, have been given tasks to do. Things that you and I have been solely entrusted to do by God, and also that we have been entrusted to do as a church, as a people of God. And we might not always think about our faith in this way, but I believe that the world is counting on us. Without knowing it, counting on us. Why? Because, friends, I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ, and so many of you do as well, is truly the greatest hope in the world. Can I get another amen? The greatest hope in all the world. And so we thrive off of encouragement, off of one another, and off of what this passage is saying. And so as we are mindful this morning, holding up this image of us running this race together in faith, I also want to say along with that, this scripture has three implications for our lives. And the first one is this. This passage tells us to resist resistance training at all costs. In fact, avoid resistance training at all costs. And it says these words, "Let us throw off every weight that hinders and sin that so easily entangles. So whatever it is that we are carrying extra in running this race for the glory of God in Jesus Christ, to let go of it, to turn away from it, to be aware of it, and to set it down. You might be aware of a woman in her early 20s, 20 years ago. Her name is Aaliyah. She was a rising star of a musician. And she got on an airplane, and the airplane never arrived at its destination. It took flight, but shortly after it took flight, it crashed. And she did not live to tell the tale. Unbeknownst to her, there was hundreds of extra cargo on that plane, material things in addition to people that had weighed it down so that it couldn't stay in flight to arrive at its destination. As I think about that image, I would like to say that it might be emblematic for how many can live their lives. Sometimes we take flight and we're carrying extra cargo as we are seeking to live for God's glory in Jesus Christ, to seek God's best for our lives. We are intended to relinquish that cargo, to set it down, whatever that extra cargo may be. And it's good for us to think about, well, what does that look like in my own life? What is there? Is there extra cargo I'm carrying? Maybe it's the cargo of fear. You're walking around in fear. The last 2 years have been very, very hard. And we're seeing a lot more new normal settle in, but sometimes we feel the ground beneath us is shaky and we aren't sure. Maybe it's some other type of, maybe it's a worry you have, something in particular you're worrying about. Maybe it could literally be the company you keep. It is important for us to ask ourselves, and the people we consciously choose to spend time with, are these people I'm spending time with, to whom I belong to, or I find my belonging, are they helping me become more like Christ or less like Christ? And I really believe there is no middle ground. We have people that we witness to, we spend time with, who are not Christians necessarily, that we seek to share the love of Christ with the hope that they will experience God's blessing through us and come to know Christ. But ultimately, we are carrying extra cargo if we are spending time consciously finding our belonging with others who are not helping us to become more like Christ in this lifetime. That is extra weight. That is extra cargo. As we take flight, the extra cargo, it can weigh us down in life from truly pursuing God's best and becoming the people of character in Christ God intends us to be. But our cargo may be something else. Sometimes we can feel challenged sometimes or feel as though we have to keep up with the Joneses in this world. That's extra cargo, that my life is about the things that I accumulate in this life. Maybe for you, the extra cargo is resentment. You have resentment. In this very divided political time, we can harbor resentment, or maybe it's towards someone else, and you require some healing in your life. This passage says to get rid of those things, to put our weight down. And it says to be rid of the sin that so easily entangles, which is to say, if we have areas in our life or habits we need to repent of and let go of, we should do that so that we can run freely, more pep in our step and in our stride on every stretch and every turn. But not only does this passage tell us to avoid resistance training, but secondly, it also tells us to run with perseverance, to run this race with perseverance. And the word here literally means constancy. And actually, for our intents and purposes this morning, I want to go with a word that's in more modern day parlance that we're familiar with. And that is the word grit. The word grit. I have come to the conclusion over the course of my life and being a Christian that in pursuing God's glory and living it out in my life, that it involves grit. We need grit in our lives because sometimes God calls us to do difficult things. Sometimes God calls us to uncomfortable places. As we are seeking the high calling of glorifying God in our lives, sometimes we end up in situations that we don't necessarily predict that we will be in. And seeking God's glory, sometimes it comes at a cost, and it requires grit in our lives in staying the course. There's been a lot that's been written about this. You may be familiar with the TED Talk given by Angela Duckworth, and she gave she also wrote a book about the topic of grit, and she studied people who are placed in really trying situations or institutions. One was the West Point Military Academy, young men. Also, there were the students enrolled in a spelling bee, and then finally teachers who were teaching in impoverished neighborhoods that had especially difficult circumstances that were confronting the teachers and the students. And she wanted to figure out what was the number one quality they shared, the ones who succeeded and didn't quit and give up in each of those three different areas between the students and also the teachers. And she looked at social intelligence. She looked at just raw intelligence. She even looked at good looks. Is that what helped them to persevere? The number one quality that they all shared was that of grit, that they had grit. And she defined grit as the following: passion and perseverance for long-term goals, stamina, sticking toward one's goal day in and day out, also recognizing that it's a marathon and not a sprint. And is it any less true for us as people of faith, as we run with perseverance, as we run with grit, with running with passion? In this race, as we know, it is really more of a marathon than it is a sprint, right? And so we are tended to have this quality as we seek to glorify God and be faithful to him in our lives. One of my favorite quotes is from the theologian, the boxer Mike Tyson. He once said, everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face. It's true, right? As we pursue God's best, as we seek to serve God with our lives, as we aspire to things in our lives, sometimes we get punched in the face, right? The unexpected happens. And so we have to pivot. We have to be flexible. We require encouragement to move forward. Or Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Perhaps said it even better. He said, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. You have to keep moving forward. There is grit involved, friends, in following our Lord and being faithful to the tasks at hand, and keeping that long-term goal in mind of following, of crossing that finish line to eternal glory. So the scripture calls us to get rid of excess weight, also to run with perseverance, but thirdly and finally to remember, friends, that you are intended to cross that finish line and to be propped up by God's people in faith so that we would do so with encouragement together. This scripture passage, as is other letters in the Bible, is written to a community. It is written to God's people, not just to an individual, but it is written to the church of Jesus Christ, and to let us know that the type of race that we are running, we are not lone rangers, but we are doing this together. We rely on each other for encouragement, for care, and for support. Some years ago at the Special Olympics in Seattle, Washington, there were nine young men who were running a 100-yard dash. And as they heard the firing gun set off, nine of them ran as fast as they possibly could. Suddenly, one of them stumbled down onto his face and onto his knees, and he couldn't get up, and he was sobbing uncontrollably. Two of the young men who were well far ahead of him were running. They heard the sound of his sobs. They stopped in the middle of the race. They turned around. They jogged back toward him. They propped him up on his feet, and they carried him shoulder to shoulder to cross that finish line together. And you cannot even imagine, as a story has been told so many times, of just how loud that crowd was who was cheering on this image of love and care and compassion for this young man. As I think about that story, friends, it makes me think about the church. It makes me think about what the church is and what it should be. That we rely on one another for encouragement and for support and for love and for care. And that this is one of our primary witnesses to the world today. We live in a dog-eat-dog world, right? Where everyone is wanting to to live the dream of the golden lab and the white picket fence and keeping up with the Joneses and having the big career and the flashy life. We'll step on each other to get there. The church is a counterscript to that. We can expect more here. We can expect more here. That's what it means to be part of the church of Jesus Christ. And I believe also that it is a story that the world thirsts for. It is a story that our world needs and we need personally. And also it is important for us too, because friends, you and I, we have work to do on this side of the kingdom. There are tasks that God has called you alone to pursue and to fulfill in this life. I believe God has entrusted certain things to in our care to accomplish for his kingdom. And I also believe that we are intended to do that as a church. 2 weeks ago, I was so encouraged by what we did together through Serve Chico. We had 9 different projects that were going on in the community. So many, as I look out in the pews today, so many of you were involved in that. We suspended 3 of our worship services. We had a brief devotional service, and we went out and we served. This last week, along with a member of our church, I had the privilege and opportunity to meet with our chief of police and also chief of the fire department to deliver handwritten notes that were written by a group in our church who were assigned that project. These were notes written individually to police officers and firefighters. And it was such an encouragement to me as I heard the chief of police and the fire department chief share with me what that meant to them. Just simply that they are being thought of. And also that they are being encouraged. The last 2 years, as you can imagine, has been very, very hard for them. Both given the North State wildfires, being a police officer in this time and in this place. And it reminded me that as we care for one another in the church, so we can also walk shoulder to shoulder with others in this world. Friends, I want you to hear the roar of the crowd this morning that are just cheering you on in faith. You're gonna do it. Have courage. Yes, there are obstacles in the way, but it's worth it. You're going to cross that finish line of faith, and don't forget to do it shoulder to shoulder with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Friends, you were born to run. You were born to run, the race, to let go of every weight, of everything that entangles our lives, that holds us down from taking flight. And we are meant to rely not only on the encouragement of the saints who have gone before us, but all of us who congregate together this week and other Sundays of the year, every Sunday of the year, to be encouraged, to be blessed, to know ultimately that we are pursuing an eternal way to glory that surpasses them all. Would you join me in prayer? God, it's useful for us to have metaphors like running in Scripture because they're ones we can relate to. Running is difficult. Whether we like doing it or not, it's difficult. Life is difficult. And many of us here are facing extraordinarily unique challenges. Some here, perhaps on a smaller scale, but whatever our difficult looks like, God, give us courage, give us perseverance, give us strength. Give us, God, what we need to continue to pursue this calling of glorifying you with our lives. And Lord, there's great joy in following you, in pursuing Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. But there are times we are led to uncomfortable places. So God, would you give us what we need? Help us to live in that zone, that zone of knowing, God, that you run the race with us and you are also there awaiting us at the finish line. The great mystery of our faith. We love you and we bless you, and we thank you for this joy and privilege of being your people today. In Christ's name, amen.